line down to 3-4. Assuming that, then by making defense cut enough in Vietnam and other places, and making Wilbur stay where he is, he can't on Medicaid and stuff, but just making him stay where he is, you could come in with the 186-85 revenue you'll have and maybe a $5 billion deficit without a surtax.
But what's Boyd telling you about FAA increases? They were raising cane with us.
They all demand them, Wilbur, but people are not gonna do it. Here's what I'm confronted with, Wilbur. One or two things, now it's just as simple. I can either lay down an arbitrary rule and try to hold to it and realize I have to give at Christmas time or something some, kind of like you did the $6 billion on your exemptions you had, and you wouldn't have had anything, I guess. That's number one. Or I can pull a Truman and send you up a goddamn $20 billion worth of increases and just let it just be totally irresponsible in that thing. Now, I just don't think I can do it. He has said, not once, but a half a dozen times, he's not going to have this tax thing.
I know it.
And he can't make a liar out of it the first week he's in.
But the point is, he did not tell me that. He said he hoped he could drop it. Ask me.
Well, but he told everybody in television, you saw it night before the election, said the difference between Humphrey is that I'm going to repeal this thing, get rid of it, and not extend it one damned hour, and Humphrey wants to go on ad infinitum. That's what he said over there.
And he also said in Texas that he was going to add more to space, and he was going to add more to the stockpiling for defense, which is, he's talking about billions of dollars over and above what is in the budget.
Well, my best judgment is that the stance that we ought to take is we haven't taken a stance on. I've got another problem on these damn tax reforms. Now, I don't want to get in tax reforms here the last week of my administration.
This business of them. Why don't you do this? Well, you've got to comply with the law that requires something to come up. Stay out of this business now. Your friends and my friends are in the oil business are scared to death. Maybe there's something ought to be done. I've told Joe that he ought to do something about these ABC arrangements, not to touch depletion, raise that howl, because we're not going to change it anyway. You certainly don't want to be in a position of recommending it. I wouldn't think you would. But some of these damn reporters are writing articles in these oil magazines now, giving you fits, you know.
Yes, I don't think I can do much if Nixon, I can't pass anything. He is very much against it. But if I send up a tax reform without it in there, I'll just murder myself. And I don't know why I can't dodge that some way.
Well, you can dodge it, but
I think the way to dodge it is just saying, now, this man's here, and I don't want to compromise his position, and I ask leave of the Congress to let the studies be made available to him, and let the Treasury career people work on the program, and ask that he submit the report later, because I don't want to go in and start a fight and divide the country. And if I recommend that they be eliminated, he recommends they be kept, it just hurts the Democrats. And
I think that's a better way to do it. Just ask the Congress to forgive you for not complying with it. But had you been returned to office, you would have, but you don't think it's fair.
That's right. I don't want to cause division. I've talked to the chairman of Ways and Means Finance and the appropriation people, and we are turning over all of our data to the career people, and they'll be there. And then the president can put his own policy, and we oughtn't to have two presidents functioning this field.
I think you're right. I agree with you.
And on the other, I think I just got to say that I look at him. I don't want to create any more troubles than I have to. He tells me that he's against a surtax and he's not going to have one. Now, that means I'm going to have $185 billion. And that's what I tell the bureaus. I can tell you that I could have $190, which would be $5 billion extra. But then I say to them, you have got to stay within what you've got. Then when I come in the mandatories, I say, well, we'll stretch out the mandatories and give you 3 or 4 of it.
Wonder if you could do it this way. I'm just thinking aloud, would you? Just take him at face value and prepare your budget on the basis of you not advocating a continuation of it either, even if it ends up with some deficit between $5 or $10 billion.
As for what I think I'd do, I think I would say that personally, I think we ought to extend it, and I think we ought to give a little leeway for some of these programs, and certainly for these mandatory increases. But if I've got the cloth there, and it's 185 billion cloth, and we're spending that this year, it's evident that we not only can't have mandatory, we can't have any increase in anybody. Therefore, fellas, cut your garment out of the 185 billion cloth, take your share of it, and bring it in here, and I will submit it. Now, when they get it in here to me, I close these doors from Wilbur and the rest of them. Then I can say, well, I can't, this is mandatory, I can't, I've got to add a little here, and I've got to add a little here, and crime, I've got to add a little. And then I will put that on my deficit, which will be $4 or $5 billion. Now that wouldn't be bad for the economy.
No, it wouldn't. And wouldn't be bad to your record now, because I think this one this year is going to be down in the neighborhood of 3. That's what Charlie tells me.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Well, if it don't have a break, it'll be lower. I'm hoping. I'm just hoping.
Are you thinking in terms of the Vietnam thing, the hostility part of it being over by
our people think. And you can't tell about them. They're your generals. You made them much as I did. The Westmorelands and the Abrams, they're all career. They tell me the war's been over out there since September.
Uh-huh.
That they've been whipped. That they're out of it. That they've tried to muster. They've tried the Tet thing. They went under Tet. They finished themselves off. They got a hell of a psychological victory in this country. But they've never been able to mass a successful one. In other words, it's like a football team that had scored several touchdowns and the game was 30-20. But since the half, they got so crippled in that first half, they've never made a touchdown since Tet. They tried it in May, they tried it in August, they tried it in September. And the reason they came to the conference table was just because he was getting them in pockets of 300 or 400 and killing the whole damned outfit. They're sending old men, they're sending 15-year-old kids. Now, all of these liberal press commentators don't want to say any of that. They don't want to admit anything. But that's what Abrams told me when he was in here. That's what Walt told me this week, who just come back from there. That's what my son-in-law tells me, who's out there right in the middle of it. And he is. He had 220, and when he left his company, when they jerked him, he was the senior captain in the Marine Division in I Corps on the DMZ, and he had only 58 originals. Uh-huh. The others been killed and wounded. Now, so he says, though, that hell, it's just as safe as you can send your wife out there now. Every damn one of them have left. There are 40,000 of them that have pulled out. Now, there's some southwest of Da Nang, and there are a good many pockets, and there are a lot of revolutionists, and a lot of Rap Browns, Stokey Carmichaels, that can go in and cause trouble. And what they're trying to do now, they're down in Cambodia, and they've got 40, 50, 60,000, and they're going to try to make one more gasp at Saigon. So things were so placid and serene up in the I Corps where the trouble was, where we invasion was, where we're really having hell, Quezon, other places, Da Nang, that he just took the 1st Cavalry and moved it down to Saigon. And he's got it down there because he don't need it up there.
Are you going to say some of this in your speech to Congress when you come to us?
Well,
I put yourself in the posture of saying that.
I hope so, yes.
You were in office long enough to have whipped.
I sure hope so, yes, I think so.
Wouldn't have ever come to the peace conference.
I think that we can. We've had awful bad luck. I don't know whether you know what happened or not, but first 2 weeks of the month, Mac Bundy and Hubert knocked off my negotiations. They came in the last September, 1st of October, and said, okay, we're ready to sit down with you. And they wanted to get ahead of the election. I know I did, and they wanted to negotiate. The next day, we wrapped it up about the 11th or 12th, and Mac Bundy called up, said he had a big speech to make. I think he wanted to convince Hubert that he ought to be Secretary of State instead of George Ball. And he was going to call for a troop pullout and stop the bombing. We said, it's the worst day you could do it. It's the most sensitive day in the year. Please keep your mouth shut. Well, he went up and made a speech anyway. We got all these embassies tapped, and they all wired out and said, Johnson's closest advisor, Mac Bundy, whose brother runs the thing, State Department, and who runs the Ford Foundation, was Kennedy's advisor, and Johnson's advisor says that you're going to have a troop pullout. And this, in effect, means that the United States recognizes they've lost the war, and they've lost at the home front, and the Fulbrights and all of them are really gaining in the country, and McCarthy and so forth. So, this is it. Well, the first thing it did, it just scared old man Chu to death in Saigon. The next thing it did, Humphrey came out the next day in Kansas City, said, I'm going to stop the bombing, period. Not comma, not semicolon. I'm going to stop it, period. So Chu just climbed the wall when he read that. He went to our ambassador and he said, oh my God, are you pulling out? Are you quitting? What's happening in Hanoi? This was the 14th, I guess. Hanoi's man just took out Hanoi, just walked off and left us. Well, Chu was so scared to death then that we quit him in Saigon by these goddamn fool speeches that Nixon's people moved in, the old China lobby, and they told him, if you just hold out till the election and don't go to any bombing conference, just stay away. Nixon will never sell you out. He's anti-communist. He was anti-American, un-American Activities Committee. He didn't want to sell China out. He wanted us to go in and save you in 54. He urged Eisenhower to do it, and so on and so forth. So in the meantime, they took over this Saigon embassy up here, which I have pretty good information on. And the Nixon people just started jacking off with them. And they started going out to Chu, and they told him, don't go under any circumstances. So he just started tearing up our agreements. I had a joint announcement that he and I had initialed, both of us had agreed on, to be made on the 28th. And by God, they kept him from making it. So I went ahead and made it anyway. Because Hanoi is going to back out if I didn't. So that's what caused that. So I had the Democrats first 2 weeks and the Republicans the last 2 weeks. That's never been told and nobody knows it, but I've got the documentation on it, and there's just not any doubt about it anymore than Wilbur Mills or John McClellan from the state of Arkansas. So that's where we are. Now then, we think we'll get them there this next week. Clark Clifford came along, got awful hard and tough with them, too tough. And that scared them, and they got their face to say, and they don't want the United States forcing them to do something, but they tell us to wait another week, and they'll try to go. So that's what I'm hoping to do. Now, if they go, I think we might very easily get some kind of agreement on joint withdrawals and a supervised election. If we could do that, 30 days, they had the Geneva Accords of 54. It took them 30 days. These people are smart. They know what they want. We know what we want. Now, we're willing to take everybody out of there, if they'll take everybody out. Well, of course, that'd make a hell of a difference in our budget if we did that.
Oh, yes.
And so that's one reason why I think that I don't have to gain this $6.5 billion. I just have to tell them that I'm not going to do it. But Nixon's strong for souping up the military. He's going to give them the bigger missile, and he's going to do this and that. But I think the only safe position for me to take, and I hope that you and Mahon and Russell and the rest of them take it, is say, now, if we didn't make this surtax charge, we're not taking position there. We would probably continue it, at least I would. But if it's not going to be continued, he says it's not. You only got 185. So at the most, all you could ever spend, your departments, is 185. So cut your garment to fit that cloth. Then when I close the door on them and lock them up where I don't have to mess with them, then I've got a deficit leeway, whatever I want that deficit to be. And then I can make it, if I want to give these, if I don't want to repeal some acts, I could go the whole 7-8, as you say, the mandatories, or I could say go 4-5 and it can stretch some of them out.
I think I'd do that. I don't know, think about it at least, but you're counting on, without the, you're counting on $185 billion of revenue in 70 calendar year, fiscal year, apparently.
I'm counting.
Without the surcharge.
Right. That's optimistic, though.
I think it is myself. I'm somewhat concerned if this war stops in the first half of this year, we're going to be taking in something like $5 or $6 billion more than we spend in that half of the calendar year. I'm concerned about that, plus the cessation of hostilities in Vietnam's impact upon the economy in the last 6 months of the calendar year.
Yes, that's right.
So we may be over optimistic on some revenue estimates right now. But I think you've got to take you've got got to take it at 185. That's what the
Treasury, the Quadrat tells me that's the best one. They met yesterday. That's right in that neighborhood. It might be up a billion or two one way or the other. It might be down a billion, but that's the best one.